so much, Lucy. I appreciate there were lots of hard names in there, and you did a fantastic job, so I appreciate it. But good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you all again this morning. As been mentioned today, we're continuing our series on the Book of Nehemiah. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but I wonder if I can be bold enough to say that if your only engagement with this book is through listening to the sermon each week, then you're probably not going to get that much out of it. You see, we also need to go away. We need to open up our Bibles for ourselves. We need to meditate on the words. We need to reflect upon them, upon our lives. And then we need to seek to apply what God is saying to us through this passage, but through all the sermons we hear. And so I strongly encourage you to go home, or you're already at home, to open up your Bibles a little bit later and to read it and to engage with it personally. I think what we've seen already throughout the book of Nehemiah is incredible. In the first week, we saw that there was this problem, that there was those that had survived the exile and they weren't doing well. They weren't in a very good state, and the walls of Jerusalem were still laying in ruins. Then there's this encounter with King Artaxerxes, an incredible encounter where Nehemiah, he lifts up this incredible prayer to God and he boldly tells this foreign king what is wrong. And then God answers Nehemiah's prayer in such an incredible way, with the king therefore granting the request for Nehemiah to go and to rebuild the wall. Through that first sermon, I think we were challenged about the importance of prayer. We were challenged to acknowledge how good God is. To acknowledge the greatness of God, we're challenged to confess our sin in prayer. We're challenged to ask great things of God rather than just small little things. And we're encouraged to pray with persistence. Quite a big challenge on prayer, I feel. And then last week, we looked at the actual rebuilding of the wall that took place, which was a miracle in and of itself. It was a massive job they were undertaking, but everyone lended a hand, whether they were priests, builders, or families, everyone. They all came together, whether skilled or not, and they built alongside one another. And so our passage last week finished off with Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, which says this. It says, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their hearts." I love that bit. The people worked with all their heart. There's something about working, doing what God is calling you to do, where you can just put your heart into it and go, "I'm building for God." Well, out of that passage last week, we were challenged to be builders and not consumers. We were challenged to come alongside each other as we seek to support and encourage one another and build together. And then we're also encouraged to realize that if we are doing the work of God, then unfortunately, I guess there will be opposition, but we're encouraged not to fear opposition because God is with us, as the Israelites saw. Well, today we're looking at Nehemiah chapter 8. But before we get stuck in this passage, let us pray together. Father God, you are an incredible God, and we thank you so much for your love towards us. We thank you so much that you are with us now, as you are with us every moment of our lives, and you want to speak to us. Father God, I pray you get rid of all distractions that might be around us at the moment, and that we will just be able to listen to your voice and the words that you want to be saying to us. Help us to know how you want us to change through your passage today, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I think what the Israelites were able to complete in rebuilding that wall was astronomical. The building and the rebuilding of the wall around the city of Judah in only 52 days was beyond belief. The surrounding nations, they looked at them, and whilst they initially mocked them and laughed about how terrible the wall was looking, saying that even if a fox were to climb up and it would crumble down, once the wall was finally completed, as we heard last week, things began to change, and the surrounding nations suddenly started to become fearful. But you know, as we look at this passage, we can so easily get focused on that wall that we miss something very important. You see, the book of Nehemiah is not really about a wall. It isn't really about shutting off Judah from the surrounding nations. It isn't really even about protecting what lies in the wall and inside their city. But rather, it is about the people coming back to God, rediscovering their identity, rediscovering what it means to be one community and what it means to follow God and worship Him as their one and only God. You see, the book of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls is all about spiritual renewal. And so today's passage, I think, makes it clear that as the walls have now been completed, the desire for spiritual renewal is realized, and it challenges us as well to pursue spiritual renewal in our own lives. So let us look at what this passage teaches about spiritual renewal. You know, for many people, and myself included, that we can struggle at times in reading the Bible consistently every day. Whilst I'm quite capable of reading in general is not really something that I desire whatsoever. You know, I know there's some people that can get lost in a good book, and I've seen it in my wife. She can completely shut out everything else around her and just be in that book. In some ways, I really wish I was like that. I wish I had a desire to read. Praise God, though, for audiobooks. I've been getting into audiobooks this year, and they've been amazing. But it's hard not having that desire there to read more and more. You know, I remember several years ago opening up to Psalm chapter 1 and being confronted by something quite simple but quite radical at the same time in that. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. I love that last bit. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. You know, as I read these words, something quite profound is discovered for me, that I'd been reading the word of God wrong all these years. You know, I've been pushing myself to read the Bible because I thought I had to. I was trying to read it because I felt that that's what I had to do to be a good Christian. And so when I went with periods without reading my Bible consistently, I often got down. I felt terrible. I felt like a failure. And so I had been trying to read it out of obligation. But, you know, as I read these words in Psalm chapter 1, what I realized is that I was looking at it completely wrong. I've been praying to God to help me to read his word more, but the prayer was wrong. See, it wasn't about doing the task of reading the Bible, but rather it's about a heart desire for God's word, which in turn causes us that desire to read. I'll say that again. It was about a heart desire for God's word, which in turn causes us to the desire to read it. And so as I was confronted by these words in Psalm chapter 1 many years ago, I realized I needed to instead change my prayers to this: God, help me to desire your word more. I guess for me then what happened as a result was amazing, that my heart started to change. I started to read the word of God more, not out of obligation, but because I wanted to. I wanted to draw closer to God, to know more about him. Now, of course, that journey is always one with lots of ups and downs. But I realized that my heart was the problem. And I keep coming back to Psalm chapter 1 time and time again and refreshing myself that, God, help me to desire your word more. I want that heart desire. You know, as we turn now to Nehemiah chapter 8, we see this spiritual renewal take place as they turn to read the word of God. And I love this passage. It says this in verse 1 to 3. When the seventh month came, and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. You know, I guess they didn't really have to turn to God. God had already done an incredible work in helping them rebuild the wall. In many ways, their city was back and it was complete. They had security. Finally, they were together as Israelites, no longer living in foreign lands. God had already done the work, but they realized that it all meant nothing if they were to accept it and then just move on with their lives. You see, it wasn't just about rebuilding the walls for the Israelites. It was about this spiritual renewal. And so as they come to celebrate the great work that God had done through them, they eagerly turn to the Word of God. They realize that true spiritual renewal comes through reading the Word. I love it. It isn't Ezra's idea to open up the Word of God. You probably would have expected it to be Ezra, since he was the teacher of the law, but rather it was the people of God coming together and saying to him, please open it up for us and read it because we desire it. We need it. We need the renewal that comes through the living, breathing words of God. And so Ezra opens it. And he reads, and he reads, and he reads. In fact, it tells us that he read it aloud from daybreak till noon. It tells us it was both men and women together. Again, there was no segregation, as we saw last week, no segregation. And it tells us that at the end of verse 3, all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. They understood the words of Psalm 1. They understood that it's about a change and a renewed heart. They came to Ezra because they desired to read the Word of God together as a united people, together as the people of God. And just as they realize their need for spiritual renewal that comes through reading the Word of God, I think for you and I, we too must realize if we want spiritual renewal in our lives, if we want breakthrough in our lives, if we want to strengthen our relationship with God, and if we want to grow as individuals and as a community, then we need to have a desire to open up the Word of God. But not just to open it up and to read it, but rather we need to open it, read it, and then listen attentively to what God is saying to us, to take it in, to meditate upon it. You see, the Israelites couldn't just continue the way they'd been going by accepting God's goodness and then do whatever they wanted. You know, they tried that plenty of times in the past and it didn't work. But they realized they needed spiritual renewal, and so too do we. You see, we can't just keep doing the same thing and expecting things to change. And so the challenge for us today is, will we seek spiritual renewal through reading the Word of God? Spiritual renewal must come through the Word of God. Well, a couple of years ago in the last church I was pastoring in, we went through a series on the book of James, and I'm sure many of you read the book of James before. James is one of those, I guess, really practical books, as its message is very simple and clear to understand. However, when we read the book, we also discover how challenging the book of James is, as in its simplicity and its practicality, so often it's very blunt on how we need to change. Well, in James chapter 1, it tells us something quite directly and bluntly, which is good for, and it's a good challenge for us. It says this in verses 22 to 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do. You know, I'm sure you'll know quite clearly what this is all talking about. There have been many of times where I've read the Bible, I've closed it, and then continued on my day without a second thought about what I've read. James, of course, uses this absurd example of looking at ourselves in the mirror and then walking away, forgetting what we look like, as if to say, well, as if that's going to happen. But he connects it with our hearing and reading of the Word of God. You see, James makes the point here that as absurd as it sounds to forget what you look like, so too should it be absolutely absurd to read the Word of God and then forget about what you read and not apply it and respond to it. And so here in Nehemiah chapter 8, for the Israelites, they knew that they didn't need to simply hear the Word of God, but rather they needed to seek to understand and respond to what they were hearing. They knew that spiritual renewal comes through understanding and applying that Word of God that they've been reading, not just reading, but hearing. As I mentioned previously in verse 3, it says that they weren't just present as the Word of the Lord was being read. They didn't just casually listen, but rather it says all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. They listened attentively. They gave the word their full attention and focus. That requires a deliberate and concentrated effort. It doesn't just happen. You know, I'm the sort of person that can get easily distracted by the most minute things around me, whether it be someone around me moving, me noticing a pattern in the carpet, recalling a song I heard in the car yesterday or even last week, or even the slightest sight of a small floating piece of dust can be enough to distract me. Anything, and I mean anything, can get me distracted, and my mind is then wandering off in another world. But here, the Israelites put in the effort, not just to be present, but the effort to listen attentively in order to absorb, reflect, and understand what was being read. There is something definitely in that for us to be challenged about. But as we read on, we discover the word also wasn't simply read. In verse 8, it also says this about reading of the word. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. You see, not only were the people actively listening to what was being read, but those reading it and the Levites were actively teaching and giving meaning to what was being read. They were taking that step further than merely a reading, but ensuring that everyone present could understand what the word was saying and then knew how it could be understood and applied into their context as the people of God. Sometimes reading the Bible can be really hard. I know the challenges of it. At times you read it, perhaps before you go to sleep, and then you close it and easily forget about it. But as you read or listen attentively to it, as you work hard to really understand it and reflect upon how it can be applied to your own life and what changes you need to make, then, only once you've gone through that process, then we discover that spiritual renewal can begin to take root in our life, because we realize that, as Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is alive and active. And so the challenge for us all as we pursue spiritual renewal is to listen to the word, but not just that, to join small groups or a Bible study group that seeks to wrestle with the word and apply it to our lives. Listen to podcasts from preachers you connect with. Read books that seek to challenge and grow you in areas that you're lacking depth, whatever it may be. Whatever that process might look like for you, you need to be active in the process of listening attentively and then understanding and applying it to your life. And so today I want to ask you, do you seek to understand and apply the word of God? Because I believe that Nehemiah chapter 8 tells us that spiritual renewal comes through understanding and applying the word of God, not just through reading it. Well, I wonder whether you've been, I guess, involved in an incredible time of worship or even a prayer meeting that has this depth and passion to it that you don't always experience. Yes, there's a time of worship in every church service, and prayer is always a part of what we do as believers. And we're thankful for Anita in leading that this morning for us. And those times are great, but I'm talking about something that I guess that takes you to a whole different level that isn't regularly done. You know, I've been involved in many worship services over the years, and there's something about going to a particular worship service or worship night, for example, where you're going with the expectation that God will be there in a very special way. And so you go ready and open for the Spirit to move within you in whatever way He wants. You sing with more passion than ever. You pray deeper. You listen to the voice of God greater, and so on. You know, the more I participate in special times and moments like that, which seek to give the greater space and freedom for me to experience God and worship Him and rejoice in Him, the more I realize that I personally receive great spiritual renewal as a result of those special worship moments. There's something about coming to special events like that and being encouraged to go deeper into worship and into prayer and reflection, which really opens me up for this special spiritual renewal and refreshment to take place. And I think that leads us in the last thing we learn from Nehemiah chapter 8 when it comes to the Israelites coming together for spiritual renewal. See, as I read the passage, not only does spiritual renewal come through reading the word, and not only does it come through understanding and applying the word, but it also shows us that spiritual renewal comes through worshiping and rejoicing. You see, if we're truly to understand the word, then it reveals a God who is worthy of great worship. And as we read and we understand about what has been done for us, then it should cause us great rejoicing. In Nehemiah chapter 8, as the people ask for the word to be opened up and read, Ezra opens up the word of God. And in verse 6, it says this: Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted up their hands and they responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then continues on further. Nehemiah then calls them in verse 10 to go and to gather together food and drinks in order to hold a celebration. And it says this in verse 12: "Then all the people went away to eat and to drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them." And then finally down in verse 18, it proclaims this: "Day after day, from the first day to the last, Ezra read from the book of the law of God. They celebrated the festival for 7 days, and on the 8th day, in accordance with the regulation, there was an assembly." As they have experienced God's goodness in their lives, in bringing them back together as his people and helping them to rebuild the wall, as they pursue spiritual renewal, they can't help but to respond in worship and rejoicing. And I want to say this morning that we too must, if we want to seek spiritual renewal, we too must respond to God in worshiping and rejoicing. As I think about spiritual renewal and what the Israelites did in Nehemiah 8, I begin to realize that spiritual renewal is this sort of complete whole being for us. You see, the reading of the word speaks to our mind. The understanding and applying it speaks to our heart. And the worshiping and rejoicing speaks to the outworking of our actions. You see, spiritual renewal is a head, heart, and action sort of thing. Now, the issue is that we can so easily think to ourselves, well, this year I want to draw closer to God. And therefore, we start reading our Bibles more. Whilst reading our Bibles is great and indeed something we should do as disciples, it remains simply as words on a page unless we take it a step further by seeking to understand it and apply it to our lives. Further, while seeking to understand the word of God and apply it to our lives is a great thing to do, it is really meaningless unless it changes our actions in this world and changes who we are. And so we need to look at our own personal spiritual renewal as a threefold process. If you stop short of that, then you won't get the full benefit of the word that God gave to us. And so this morning, as I finish up, I want to challenge you. Will you seek spiritual renewal? Will it be a renewal that affects our head, our heart, and our actions? Will you seek spiritual renewal personally, but you also seek to come together and to do it as a community? Because a community that seeks spiritual renewal together is a community that's used by God together and will grow together. So let's seek spiritual renewal. Let us pray. Father God, we worship and glorify you because you are the God that loves us and has done so much for us. Just as you brought together and rescued the Israelites, you too have come and you've rescued us and you've brought us together. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross for us, that the punishment of sin has been defeated. Father God, I pray for spiritual renewal for all of us. I pray that you will work in our hearts and our minds and that your workings will flow out into our actions. Father, give us greater desire for your word. Give us greater desire to be in relationship with you, to know more about you. Give us greater desire to love and support those around us. Give us greater desire to reach out into our communities to tell them about your love and your grace. Father, continue to mold us and use us as your people. We are here, we are open, and we are ready for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.